We kick off hour number three of the program. I need to tell you, MyBookie is the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. And right now, the Vols are an 11.5-point favorite over Missouri. Started at 10, been moving up. It's pretty interesting to watch the lines move across the board in college football, because they move a lot more typically than in the NFL. Harder to predict the game outcomes. The spreads are larger, and I think it's harder for the odds makers to figure out what the way the public's going to bet them, too, when they come out. Right now in SEC action, we got Florida, an 18.5-point favorite, hosting South Carolina. That's also a noon game. Mentioned Tennessee at home, 11.5-point favorite against Missouri, noon game. The next SEC matchup that you move to is the 3:30 showdown, which doesn't feel like a showdown anymore, because A&M played so poorly at home against Vanderbilt. They now go on the road to Alabama, where Alabama's a 17.5-point favorite.
Really?
17.5, which sounds like a really high number, but also, like, I wouldn't feel good betting on A&M.
I would actually like to take A&M in that if we ended up picking it. I swear, I just think A&M didn't prep for Vanderbilt because they didn't think they had to. They looked like junk. They still won the game. I think they're going to be ready to play against Bama. As ready as they can be.
The underdog that I think I like the most is Ole Miss +6.5 on the road at Kentucky. If Ole Miss gets that offense going,
they don't have a good defense.
Kentucky could have trouble keeping up, though. I mean, Kentucky kind of shot themselves in the foot. It will just depend on if Kentucky makes mistakes or not, I think.
I really would have liked to have seen the Ole Miss-Florida game had the refs not bailed out Florida. There was a point where they called a roughing the passer penalty on Ole Miss whenever they were down 14. I'm pretty sure it was early in the fourth quarter, but it ended up giving Florida another opportunity. I think they went down and scored a touchdown, made it three possessions, and at that point you knew Ole Miss wasn't going to be able to come back. But they kind of had all the momentum, down two scores, and they were about to get the ball back, had a really good defensive stand, but the refs bailed out Florida.
Another, like, maybe even the most intriguing matchup of the weekend in the SEC, Auburn at Georgia, 7:30 kickoff. Georgia at home, a 6.5-point favorite over Auburn. Then at 7:30 you have LSU at Vanderbilt, where LSU is a 20-point favorite against the Commodores. Also, Arkansas at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is a 19-point favorite against the Razorbacks in that night game there at 7:30. That's your SEC lineup and the lines from MyBookie. It's pretty interesting because most, I think all the home teams are favored except for Vanderbilt.
That adds up.
And really, we thought that week one was going to be the week with the most lopsided kind of setups, but because of the things that happened in week one, I feel like week two is just as bad, if not worse. I mean, there's no lines as tight as South Carolina-Tennessee was, and that game turned out to be that tight. Hey, shouts out, Davey. You said it'd be a three-point game. I'm going to give you partial credit for the four-point game.
Thank you.
This week, I mean, you got a couple games that are a touchdown line. The A&M Alabama game was supposed to be probably a, you know, 9.5, 10-point line, probably, and now A&M was so bad. Who knows? No one's watched the A&M game except me. I mean, they did have that weird punt call. That same return guy tried to take one out of the end zone at one point on a kickoff and only got to like the 15, so that was kind of stupid. Isaiah Spiller did run well and led the SEC in rushing. He broke some big runs. They had some, like, Kellen Mond had some drops from his receivers. That the most surprising thing is that Vanderbilt was able to get first downs and just go up and down the field, mainly with a patient, pedestrian kind of run game that just chewed clock, gained first downs. But when they got in the red zone, they couldn't punch it in for touchdowns. They had to settle for field goals early, and that kind of doomed them and led to the ultimate 17-12 game. So, I think Vanderbilt may even have missed a field goal. I can't remember. But, obviously, they only scored the one touchdown, and that was the difference. So like A&M to keep it under 17. Think it'll be.
I don't want to get too far gone again on kind of making week two predictions. I think after this week, everybody you'll kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't explain any other reason why A&M would be so bad against Vanderbilt, unless they just did not prep for Vanderbilt. Maybe Vanderbilt was a little bit better than they thought, because they were prepping for Bama all offseason.
All right, well, let's talk about
Tennessee. I'm with you. I probably wouldn't touch it.
Let's talk about Tennessee. We talked quarterback a ton. What's your next biggest concern for the Vols moving forward? Position group or skill set or something you saw from week one that you really hope they improve the most on kind of going into week two?
I think the secondary will get a big help with Schamberger back. I was actually okay with the D-line and linebackers. I think a lot of that was assignment stuff. I'm going to say offensive line. Pushing people around.
Mm.
I'd like to break some longer runs, maybe. Maybe a cleaner pocket for Garantano. I thought they were fine. I did not think they were as dominant as we all hoped for. And I think they can be. We'll see what happens this week with that secret vote that they maybe aren't doing or are doing for transfers within the conference.
What's this vote thing?
What?
What's this vote you're talking about?
Yesterday, Mark Stoops said in his presser.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know because I told you it happened and you told me to shut up.
What?
You got mad.
You didn't say it would happen.
You asked why. You and Russell were both mad.
I want you to, right now. Okay, I just want you to know you're starting this battle right now. You brought
this.
You're doing this. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am.
Go ahead. The floor is Chris and Hudson.
On Saturday, we talked about it, I think, a little bit on Friday as well. As it relates to the SEC talking about their bylaws in the Constitution, I said that the reason Greg Sankey has not declined to say that this is not something that we're going to clear them one way or the other, approve, decline, whatever, on these transfers, I said he's not said anything yet because he can still call on the member institutions to have a vote to determine whether players that are transferring in conference would be able to do so. But it's not on him. It's on the institutions of the SEC to put that rule forward.
Are you done?
I will let you respond.
For the millionth time, if a player transfers because he's not getting playing time, I have no problem with the rule. Again, I'm talking specifically about Cade's situation. Not to mention the fact that it's a pandemic year, but just throw that one out. Forget the fact that it's a pandemic year, that eligibility does not count. I'm not even using that as an argument. The fact that Cade is in a legal, his family is in a legal battle with the University of Georgia, I felt like those were extenuating, unprecedented circumstances. This was not just a transfer because I'm not getting playing time. I feel like in that situation, this is a little bit of Sankey passing the buck. I totally get if you're transferring because you're not getting playing time or you're buried on the depth chart or you just don't like your coach, that's fine. And I totally understand why transferring within the conference or within the division would have an issue. Again, not even pandemic aside, Cade's situation I felt deserved a special amount of care and attention given the situation with he and Georgia. There is no precedent for that. That was my issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they're going to vote on it, but I don't know, again, like if they all vote, nope, can't transfer within the conference, sorry. It's like they're covering their bases on one side where I'm not getting playing time, I'm going to go to Georgia. Again, this is different. That's why the NCAA stepped in and gave him the waiver. So the NCAA clearly thinks this is a very different situation, a very special set of circumstances for Cade. I felt like Greg Sankey is smart enough to look at the data, look at the case itself, and say, yes, he's not transferring for playing time. He's transferring because his family's in a battle legally with the University of Georgia.
As a Tennessee fan, I agree with you. I'm trying to step back. Someone pointed this out to me. Look at it from a, let's say, an unbiased opinion. The incident happened before Cade committed to the University of Georgia.
Not the lawsuit.
Not the lawsuit, but the reasoning behind. The lawsuit didn't come really until after he was kind of already wanting to move on from Georgia. And hold on one second. But it seems as though, based off the timeline, the lawsuit came around the same time he wanted to transfer, and we know that they're going to put as much information as possible to try to get a transfer through. As it relates to all three instances, the NCAA has cleared all three players that are currently involved. I can't remember, Joey Gatewood's one. I can't remember the guy, the other guy, for making it the three with him, and Gatewood and Case. And so,
Otis Reese.
That's right. And so if you take a step back, and like, it's one of the things where I understand he's in a lawsuit, but Georgia wanted Cade to stay. And it wouldn't be a direct impact. The lawsuit involves a products liability claim against the company. The issue with the University of Georgia coming in is a negligence issue about how the chairs were spaced and how Kevin ended up losing his finger. And so, again, and there could be talks behind it. I know whenever there's usually these types of situations, things are settled outside of court. It's not something that usually goes through the actual system. They have a settlement outside. The fact that we've not had that happen makes me do think that there are probably some other things involved. But based off the timing, I understand why Sankey has probably got people on Tennessee's side saying, hey, this is unprecedented. We got a lawsuit here. But then on Georgia's side, it's like, listen, yeah, they have the lawsuit, but we wanted him to stay. We didn't he wasn't going to be negatively impacted by the lawsuit that is going on against the university.
Well, of course, that's what they're going to say. But it's still a lawsuit. Like, that's my only point. That's what makes it unprecedented. That's, again, I'm not even using the pandemic. I'm not even using the eligibility issue from the NCAA, where eligibility is not even a thing this year. I'm simply saying, if you're in a lawsuit with the university, it seems like a conflict of interest for you to be there and on the football team. I feel like, and the NCAA agreed. I'm just saying, it feels like Sankey kind of passing the buck, and we'll see if the vote changes. I mean, I would imagine, obviously, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Ole Miss are going to be four. I don't understand why in a year like this you couldn't just, hey, one time, this is a weird year, yeah, just go ahead and play. That's all I'm saying. I'm glad they are going to vote. I didn't know they could do that just like any day of the week. It's going to be weird, though. Like, if it is open, when do you vote again if other people want it changed back? Like, that feels weird, the kind of secret, immediate vote. I thought that had to be, like, SEC meetings or something. I'm glad they're doing it.
There's a rule where they can call a special meeting, kind of like we're seeing here. I don't have the exact text in front of me as far as how they can go about doing it, but I remember when I was trying to do all the stuff with the Constitution, looking and seeing how they can do it. And, I mean, they can even do it via teleconference. Like, they don't have to be in person to do this.
Sure, yeah.
And so it's like I understand both sides of where they're coming at, and I hope Cade gets cleared. At the same time, if you're Sankey, and I know people point to whenever the grad transfers, things kind of started, but I do believe in that situation you'd started to see other conferences kind of allow that. I don't know of, and I could be wrong, and if I am, someone please send me the information, where other conferences have allowed other players to transfer in conference, not be a grad transfer, and be declared immediately eligible. And I know the NCAA is a whole other thing, and maybe these schools didn't think that the NCAA would grant the immediate eligibility to these players. But if you're Sankey, I would say it's easier just to not say anything.
Oh, it's definitely easier. But that's part of my frustration, is I feel like he's been the front runner for everything during the pandemic and getting college football back. He's done such a great job. I'm surprised at his silence here and his, I don't want to make a tough decision, so you guys just vote again.
Go ahead, Nate.
My main takeaway here is both parties are at fault. Like, how do you not talk about this? How does Greg Sankey not let Kentucky, Tennessee, and who's the third one?
Ole Miss.
And Ole Miss know, hey, guys, just FYI, right now the way the rules are, your guys that you are wanting ruled on of eligibility are not going to be ruled eligible because of the current rules of the conference. Just letting you know that. Like, 2 months ago he could have said that. Jeremy Pruitt, hell, Mark Stoops.
6 months ago.
Lane Kiffin, all of their reps, all the people in compliance, all of those people, any of those people, could have called the SEC office, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but if they did, they should start telling people they did and say, excuse me, Greg Sankey's office, listen, I've got this transfer kid, because it's a COVID year or because it's a unique situation, however you, Cade Mays, Kevin Mays, all this stuff you want to apply, like, are you going to hear our appeal and grant an exemption here, or like, what's the deal? The fact that there was no communication until essentially game week between the SEC office and these SEC teams is like just laughably stupid. I mean, it's just,
I know they've been busy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is their job. This is what they get paid. This is why the millions of dollars flow, is because this kind of stuff like gets done. And for them to have an emergency meeting, essentially because Kentucky's quarterback sucked on Saturday, that's the whole reason Mark Stoops is up in arms, is because Terry Wilson was awful, and they got another kid that could play quarterback. Imagine if Cade Mays was our five-star quarterback and Jerick Garantano had just played awful and lost the game and fumbled it off his leg and thrown a pick six at the one-yard line, and we had lost the game to South Carolina when we thought we might have a chance to win the East. And Cade Mays was a stud quarterback that we know is probably better. That's what the situation Kentucky's in. Mark Stoops, you moron. Why did you figure this out beforehand? Greg Sankey, same thing.
I'm not
Take
sure
care of your schools.
On this, but I believe you do need a certain number of schools to kind of like be in agreement, like, hey, this is probably something we should go ahead and have a special meeting on.
Right.
So it's probably a lack of the universities communicating with each other to get this going sooner.
That makes sense too, yeah. I mean, the lack of communication across all of college football has been, somebody like turned the light on and the cockroaches ran. I mean, the fact that the conference commissioners all had a meeting saying that they were going to keep hashing this out, and the Big Ten guy went, Kevin Warren went, canceled, got him. Like, I mean, that was the first thing. It was like, what in the hell are these guys even doing? And I tell you what they're doing. They're accepting their big, fat checks that your tax dollars pay because there's no competition. There can't be another football conference. You can't just start magically start a football conference that's going to take over and be better than the rest. The only thing they have to do is keep the people that can hire or fire them happy. And the best way to do that in a government job is to just do as little as possible and not make your boss mad. And so, you know, Greg Sankey, in a way, kind of took the very soft hands, push it back, and a lot of that was smart. But some of that, like, he kind of went into this line that you're talking about where he was so soft about it that he didn't let these guys know, like, hey, if you guys want something changed this year, you're going to have to propose it. I mean, this is like a commissioner.
That was on the radio, the last week, right?
Yeah, it was game week. Yeah. Like, he finally – radio guy had to ask him.
And the teams are thinking all three of these guys are going to be cleared.
And I'm sorry, but Jeremy Pruitt is a moron for not saying – he said last week he had not talked to Greg Sankey about it. How have you not?
Well, he said that the SEC hadn't requested to talk to Cade, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, it goes both ways, but it's pretty clear that
this is like
Greg,
a dude and a girl that both are madly in love with each other, and neither one will call the other one. Like, we both want to get married and have lots of babies, but neither one will pick up the phone or shoot a quick text.
Wait, all you have to do is call them?
They like that. That's my biggest complaint about this whole situation, is I just wish there had been more communication from Greg Sankey, given the circumstances. And I just think Cade's case is different than those other two. And then, again, not to mention the pandemic. Like, eligibility doesn't count. The NCAA said that. It's I don't want to call it a throwaway year, but it's going to be a weird year. It already has been. There's already been games canceled and postponed, and this team's missing 7 guys. This team's missing 12 guys. It's already going to be weird. I just let everybody play. It's okay. Who cares? Make an exemption this year. But even if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But as the commissioner, you do have the ability to look at case by case and see extenuating circumstances, see an unprecedented case where the student's family is in litigation with the other university. I just think that's a reason he should be cleared.
I know we haven't seen that, but one of our biggest knocks with the NCAA is just how they really are not consistent. And I do believe if you're Sankey here, and even though Cade's case is completely different than things we've seen in the past, it's once you give a ruling one way, then other people are going to be like, well, this case is unprecedented in this manner, and so we should be able to get a ruling
fine. Then we shouldn't be after week one having this vote. If that was the case, he should have said that months ago.
In Tennessee Kentucky, they should have pushed him.
I agree 100%.
They should have pushed him, but I don't know how much, like you said, like, I don't know if any other schools were going to him.
If Greg
Sankey
was
going to
stick to that point, which I agree, from an operation standpoint, Greg Sankey did the right thing. It's the timing that's bad. If Greg Sankey says that 3 months ago, well, then 2 months ago they can have the vote, and then 1 month ago we know Cade Mays and Joey Gatewood are all good to go.
I'm 100% sure Greg Sankey understands that there are transfers within the conference ongoing. He needs to alert the member institutions to the rule before they even appeal to. Like, they shouldn't have to go through appeals to the NCAA if you're not going to clear them or they can't be cleared. Now, maybe he told them, well, we're going to have to vote on it, but why would you wait until after week one to vote?
Why even apply for an NCAA waiver if the kid's not going to be able to?
That's what
anyway.
I'm saying. And why did
Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee think that
three of them thought the guys were going
to
be cleared?
That the SEC would just magically reach out and talk to people, and that's not the rule. No one's ever been. Davey's right. No one's ever done that before. Why would you think something that's never been done is just magically going to happen?
And my thing is, like, again,
for
like,
all the reasons
I'm
I said,
a little frustrated because we have seen Tennessee kind of screw up the waivers before,
yeah,
and so it's like that's why I kind of want to give Greg Sankey and the SEC.
Did Tennessee even turn anything in? I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean,
more
you can
slack.
Pick a side, but you don't need to. You guys are debating a problem that's just a problem. There doesn't have to be a winning and a losing side here. It just doesn't need to be that way. The whole league dropped the ball because whatever the process should be wasn't done at all. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like this is like a marriage ending in divorce. Like, the marriage failed. Like, so the transfer process this year failed. I don't know if that's Sankey, some Sankey, all the office, some the schools.
I'll say this
both.
Too.
Both.
I wonder if Otis Reese and what's the other guy from Kentucky?
Gatewood.
Joey Gatewood.
If they weren't, because there's only three, right, that are even trying.
That I'm aware of, that are trying.
I would be willing to bet you that if it was just Cade Mays, he would have been cleared by the SEC office. But because there's two others that they would have to say, sorry, his case is, I guarantee you that he doesn't want to say yes to you and no to you two, especially it being Tennessee and then Kentucky and Ole Miss. This is I'm agreeing with you. Like, this is a CYA move. Maybe it's the right move, maybe it's not. But it's weird that we get to after week. I mean, we get to Friday, game week. We've waited an extra month for this, and then he goes on some Birmingham radio show and says the rule's the rule. What? Why did the schools not know this? How are they so uninformed?
I mean, Jerry Pruitt before that said they haven't reached out to Cade. I think that's weird. Yeah, there's no reason why Jeremy Pruitt shouldn't already know that that's Greg Sankey's take.
Yeah. And like on top of this, like, I mean, I've not talked with anyone at the SEC. I just happened to read the Constitution and the bylaws, and I'm like, well, they've never done anything other than this. Like, I don't expect them. Like, we've not heard
this
any other
talk.
This could
have been handled in an email or two emails. Mm-hmm. I mean, back and forth. Like, hey, I mean, from Jeremy Pruitt to Greg Sankey. Dear Greg, are you guys going to consider special exemptions due to COVID or
extenuating circumstances?
Or specific ones per player? Obviously, I have a player that's in a lawsuit. What do you think? Greg Sankey replies back. I'm sorry, Jeremy. I do sympathize with your situation, but we've never done that before. The rule is the rule. If the rule were to be changed by the member institutions, then those players, all players, could be approved. But we regardless of COVID or extenuating circumstances, we are not considering those this year. That'd be it.
But isn't that the job of the governing body? Like, that's why the NCAA will take waiver appeals.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's why all of college football sucks ass at being organized. Mm. And that's why the Rose Bowl created us not having a great playoff for years and years. It's why we had to deal with, you know, like Notre. I mean, I was like 8 years old, and I'm like, why does Notre Dame have to beat Colorado by a lot of points? Because if this team wins I'm like eight going, Dad, this makes no damn sense. Like, what the hell? Why are we watching Ryan Leaf try to win a national title over here while Nebraska tries to state their case with, you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing.
One word, Nate, ego.
This is like the dumbest thing ever. Yeah.
It's the one thing that is consistent whenever I do any research or try to figure out any project as it relates to college athletics. Ego, ego, ego.
Yeah.
Every time.
It's the Big Ten, and the ultimate ego call this year just screwed over an entire group of people. The Big Ten this year thought, oh, we'll just cancel it, everybody else will follow, and now they're having to just eat that crow every damn day of the week, and it's glorious. We'll come back with more. Mike Leach got asked by a New York Times reporter about his face mask. I just got to read you this transcript on the flip side. You don't want to miss this. It's
I'm always down
pirate.
For pirate.
Alan Blinder. of the New York Times asked Mike Leach this. You didn't wear a face mask covering actively for a lot of the game. Why not? Mike Leach replied, well, I tried to remember the best that I could. Then I found myself talking all the time, you know, because I'm calling the plays as well. It was a constant state of talking. So between me taking it down to talk and lifting it up and it falling down on its own and me remembering to put it back up, I think there were a number of challenges there. With a little practice, who knows, it may be better this week. How'd you do with your face mask? Are you pretty good with the face mask, guy?
He called him guy?
Allen replied, I do my best. Mike Leach, okay, so let me ask you, let me get a few pointers here. What do you do when your mask does the breathe-in thing on the mouth? What kind of face mask do you have?
He's going to totally have the welder's mask, Andy Reid face shield next game, right?
Allen replies, I just have one I bought on Amazon. Goes around my ears and that sort of thing. Mike Leach replies, so the ears and then this, right? And I'm sure he's motioning. Mm-hmm. AB, yeah, Mike Leach. See, I've got that face sock thing, which sits on your neck instead of hanging on your ears.
The buff.
Do you ever find that pretty soon those things will start to smell bad? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're going, what's that smell? What's going on out there? There's nothing going on out there. That's your breath. So I need to practice with it. What do you do when you're talking? Do you have a trigger to remind you when to pull that thing back up? Because I've found myself a little too preoccupied to do it, and then all of a sudden, it's around my neck there. Allen says, yeah, I think everyone's different. I was just curious what your thinking was, if it was some kind of statement, or was... And then Mike Leach interrupts him. I try to do my best with it, but once you're 6 feet apart, I can't help but wonder if some of this is an homage to politicians. But I do try and stay 6 feet apart.
Classic Leach.
Oh, my goodness.
Ask for pointers. That's good. He's trying.
It reminds me that there was some book or story or art. I can't remember what it was, but somebody was saying that their grandmother got called about, like, loves to. She started getting called about buying plots at cemeteries.
Lovely.
Because she was getting of a certain age.
Yeah.
And so she started just trolling the callers back and started just asking them all these questions about it until the point where they were ready to hang up because she was retired and had nothing better to do. She would ask them, like, how long you have it? Like, can you throw a party out there? Like, can you have a barbecue picnic? Like, what type of tents can you put up with the plots? And what's the view like? Can she get, like, a hill?
What happens when you're a zombie? Is the land still yours in the afterlife?
A lot of questions. So, yeah, sometimes it's best just to flip it around. I mean, this guy was obviously trying to get Mike Leach to say he's anti-mask, or that he was making some statement by not wearing his mask,
right?
You know, some brouhaha headline. But no, not the pirate. He's too smart for your tactics.
He's a lawyer.
I couldn't help but kind of laugh. It was cringy and funny and great that he did the pirate thing on, like, a stagecoach-looking wagon.
Oh, it's a bandwagon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was the bandwagon. Jump on the bandwagon. I forgot about that. Because the first...
What did he say? Looking for a bandwagon?
Davey, is there a seat next on. To you?
Buddy, I've been on that train for a long time.
Yeah, but it's, I'm still
yeah, you
asking.
Can, yeah, you can come
seat
on, man.
Next to you. I don't want to sit by myself.
Yeah, and it's not like you have to get on the Mississippi State bandwagon. It's just wherever Leach goes, you get to follow.
You just follow. People do that with Peyton Manning in the NFL, so I think completely fine to do that with a coach in college. Coaches are the stars in college because they stay. Players are the stars in professional sports. Been like that a long time in college basketball.
That's fair.
Lots of casual fans can name a bunch of coaches, can't name any of the new players each year.
I'd agree with that. Who do they have this week?
Arkansas.
Oh, I think you're playing me.
Yes, sir.
You might be playing me SEC. Fantasy football. So
no, am I?
Good luck with the KJ Costello.
Oh, no. Well, maybe Arkansas won't score and he won't play the whole game.
Yeah, that's true. Could happen.
I can dream. Let's see. Where is the matchup? Dang it.
Is that us?
Yeah. Godfathers.
Stingley. Derek Stingley Jr., you know, he was out for that game and apparently he had some reaction that had to...
To what?
He had to be rushed to the hospital the night before, right?
Yeah. Some
shellfish?
Like, I don't know. Some massive
somebody reaction put too much shrimp in the gumbo?
I think the Chiefs starting guard last night had appendicitis right before he was supposed to go out.
But Stingley Jr. should be good to go this week.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
You're probably going to kill me this week.
I don't know, man.
You didn't even play Mitchell last week.
I know. He's in now.
Yeah, Total Vols move asked, did I hear Clay Travis ask Leach about wearing a pirate costume when he plays Nick Saban in Alabama on Halloween? That was pretty good. I mean, the funniest thing about Leach when he gets those questions is he'll always say, well, I haven't thought about that. Like, he doesn't just – he won't just go into joke mode and just kind of play along and have some fun. Like, he literally breaks down every single
question. And then he starts to think about it out loud.
And he really breaks it down for you.
And then you just get this train of thought, verbal adventure.
And I will say Clay Travis did a poor job of just, like, Leach is a slow talker now because he's thinking as he's talking. So he'll have these long pauses and these ums. And Clay kept interrupting him to, like, ask more of the questions. Like, just let Leach process.
Let him be Leach.
Because Clay was like, can you have a pirate on your shoulder? And he's like, well, that pirate would get knocked off pretty quick.
Parrot.
Pirate on your
pirate
shoulder.
Parrot.
On your pirate shoulder.
It's tough.
I think I might be Mike Leach.
How so?
How do you,
just
yeah.
A football genius, great-looking dude, a little bit of an obsession with pirates. I don't know if that's come out before, but I'm a big pirate fan. And I'd start sentences like this one where I don't know where they're going. It's a lot of ums. And sometimes I don't go straight into joke mode, so people don't really know if I'm telling jokes or being facetious and stuff like that. And I use big words like facetious.
Yep, dead ringer. You are him.
Well, if Davey can be everybody, every football player and athlete who's like 6'1", one something, I can be Mike Leach.
I'm not them.
You know Mike Leach?
Just the same size. Anywhere between like...
Do you enjoy walks?
6 feet to 6'5".
I love walks.
Big walk guy?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't think you understand how many times, like, when they cleared out the line on the property where you can finally get down to the creek, I've walked the creek line like 3 or 4 times since that happened.
Yeah. All right.
He did the thing where he...
Yeah, he just derailed the whole segment?
Yeah. Hmm.
How good can Mississippi State be this year? What's just the top end? What's a miracle season look like? I'll read you their schedule. You ready? They get Arkansas this week. Then they go on the road to Kentucky. Then they host Texas A&M. Then it's at Alabama. All right, then they get Vanderbilt at home. Then Auburn at home. Then at Georgia, at Ole Miss, and then Missouri in a post-Thanksgiving.
I mean, that feels like 7 wins almost easily.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I probably expect them to drop one that they should get. Because, I mean, with that offense, there's some times where it's just not clicking or they are able to scheme up something pretty well. I mean, obviously, it works out for Leach more than it doesn't, but
I
think he'll probably get another one he shouldn't. So I have him around 7-3.
If he goes 7-3 in the SEC West, first year out of the gate.
Yeah, on paper that would hurt.
Yeah, well, and
if he beats A&M and we don't, I'll be furious.
That'll be.
I mean, a lot of people knock him. Like, the guy didn't miss a bowl game whenever he was at Texas Tech, which is incredibly difficult to do. I want to say the next, like, I think it was like 8 straight. I don't know if anyone else has ever made more than 4 straight at there. He made 5 straight at Washington State, and the most anyone had ever done there was 3 bowl games in a row.
They were ranked the worst program in Power 5 football the year he took over.
I mean, pulling.
Really?
Washington State was bad. They were bad, bad. And it took him a little bit to get there, like, because even with his style, like, you just want to talk about a depleted roster trying to get kids to go out to nowhere, Washington. It was a little bit of a struggle. He went 3-9, 6-7, 3-9. But after that, he got them to where they were having a winning record every year.
I will still understand at least the thought process of why some Tennessee fans didn't want him here. But I have no respect for the opinion that his offense won't work or that he's not – that his offense – along with Hal Mumme, who he was with when they started at Iowa Wesleyan and then Kentucky, and then Dana Holgorsen, who uses most of it and split off, and all the other tree guys that came off, and the fact that he helped Bob Stoops, who's a defensive guy, win a national championship the year after by identifying Josh Heupel as the quarterback and getting that offense ready to go, and the fact that Oklahoma is setting records, essentially running a lot of the staple plays that NFL teams are running, staple play. Like Mike Leach and the guys that he created this offense with have completely changed the game of football. And you can't just diminish a guy because who's changed the fabric of the game, even at the National Football League, and say, well, he hasn't won a conference championship. He's no good. He doesn't deserve any credit. Like, come on. There's just more nuance than that. It's fine. You can criticize him for not winning a championship. You can criticize him for not being able to get over the hump and beat Washington in the Apple Cup and win a Pac-12 title with Washington State. They were probably good enough. And then if you want to take up for him, you can say, well, you know, they had to play Washington with their best team in the snow 1 year. That's not great for the air raid. And then the other side can say, well, you should have a team built better for the snow. That's one of the problems with the air raid. You go round and round on the opinions of how good or bad he is. But to completely dismiss him like he's this caricature of a guy that just does things weird just to be different is completely ignorant to how much he's changed and impacted the game of football at all levels.
And if there's a guy that can just identify talent that no one else sees, I would definitely put him up there as one of the best. He was the only coach to offer Baker Mayfield a scholarship out of high school, Power 5-wise. I mean, you look at Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew was not even going to be – he was going to be a grad assistant at Alabama. And then Mike Leach caught him up and said, hey, you want to lead the league or the nation in passing? He did. Now he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he put Wes Welker on the map. And, I mean, if you want to look at it from a defensive side, Dave Aranda, like, developed under Mike Leach. And Dave Aranda, I mean, he just won a national championship at LSU. He's now the head coach at Baylor.
Yeah, and the hurry-up, no-huddle, the RPO game, all of that stuff is a simplifying of offensive football. When everyone else, he simplified the game as everyone else was trying to make it more complicated and shift and motion, and all that stuff's true. So it'll be fun to watch
Kingsbury.
It'll be fun to watch their journey this year at Mississippi State and beyond. It'll be fun to watch his journey the rest of the way. You don't always have to tie him to the fact that he almost was the coach at Tennessee. You can when it's appropriate. You probably shouldn't when it's not. It's okay. It's fine. We don't have to get mad about it either way. So I hope people can appreciate all of those angles to the storyline. It's going to be a fascinating one in the SEC, especially as – I mean, I watched Houston just count them off. I mean, there's seven games where you would – after their performance Saturday, kind of right now, at least pencil in.
Yeah,
either the favorite
did the A&M just because of what we saw. This obviously,
yeah, okay. So six games where you pencil in, like they'll probably be the favorite unless they completely change by, you know, injury or just don't perform well or something weird.
Them
happens.
Against Kentucky week three will be, that'll be fun.
Oh yeah,
that'll be.
I feel like the talent on those teams is pretty similar, but one's super defensive and one's all offensive right now. It's gonna be, give me something.
They might blow the doors off of Kentucky. A homecoming of sorts.
How many wins do you think their over-under was set at this year?
I thought it was like five.
Four and a half?
Four.
Four flat?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, when you beat – I mean, they weren't supposed to beat LSU. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, we'll see. Final segment of the program. Coming back at you next. Stick with us right here. God, it feels so good to talk about actual college football games. It's Optimism Tuesday edition of 3 and Out. Final segment of the program, Optimism Tuesday edition. Tennessee got another big winnable game Saturday at noon. Get you set for it as we head towards the weekend. Did we miss any big college football topics from yesterday completely? Need to bounce around to? I mean, no, I know there wasn't any huge ones.
Did y'all talk about Texas and Texas State?
Texas Tech.
Or Texas Tech, yeah.
That was crazy. I mean, they got an onside kick, right?
Yeah, I didn't watch any of the games because I didn't have access to it.
I cannot believe you didn't let somebody.
I didn't want to be a burden.
I texted you and said, let me know if you need anything.
Yeah,
like,
but,
not
okay.
Being able to watch college football the first big day of college football. That's needing something, bro.
See, I didn't think that was needing
something. That's a good boss.
Yeah, no. Now that I know that that was 100% true, if I get COVID again, I'll hit you up for if I need anything.
We've already had one positive antibody test, and then you got...
I'll go for two.
Maybe you caught it twice.
Maybe. I have no idea. They just told me it was probably a false positive.
You might be pregnant next week.
What?
I'm just saying, you're an impossibility walking around, so...
I am.
Yeah.
I am. I don't even remember what I was saying.
Yeah, got you there. Mm. This is how we feel every time you start talking in a segment.
No, I didn't want to be a burden. I didn't want to, because I thought it was just one of those things where you say, yeah, let me know if you need anything, and it's more of like, please don't, like, I have to say this because I'm your boss, and I'm trying to be nice. Like, I don't think Davey said it.
It could have actually been that, and now he's playing it up as, no, I was dead serious.
But now you won't know because you didn't ask.
Wait, I mean, Houston didn't offer me anything because I sit in the upper deck. But and you texted me making sure I was feeling okay, but you didn't offer me anything. Nate was the only one offering me anything, but I didn't want to reach out.
You never have given me your number.
You've never given me your number.
I don't have each other's number.
No, it's weird. That's why
it's weird to ask.
No, me. I did get it. I did get it.
Yeah,
I texted you the login for fantasy. That's right. I had to get it from Nate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but no, the Texas
I dedicated
Tech,
my pop top to you. Will, don't say I didn't do anything.
I asked
you.
For it. The
I still did it.
Thank you.
You're like Greg Sankey. You didn't let anybody know any of this. You just sat there. The rule's the rule. I don't have TV. I can't watch the games. Just reach out, communicate.
Okay, I will next time.
All right.
I also offered to let you be in the fantasy football league. Like,
I thought that was more of a numbers thing. Y'all needed an even number. Anyways, the Texas Tech quarterback
we left
put the
people
horns
out.
Nice. The Texas Tech quarterback put the horns down when they scored that touchdown, and then when they lost,
did he get a 15 for that?
I don't think so because it was on the sideline.
Mm.
Smart. Not smart to do it before the game's over.
No, it was like Ed O getting the Gatorade bath and then losing in 8 OTs.
Don't remind me.
Yeah.
Oh, was that a bad night for you?
Houston lost SEC survivor.
I had LSU.
Oh, I do remember
they
that.
Won that game 4 times and then lost, and I had to do a punishment.
That speaking was a fun
of game. Speaking of punishment.
Yeah? You excited for tomorrow?
Will you? Can you eat something before the show? Just have something on your stomach?
I'm going to have to come up with a whole plan, I think. Golly, you just reminded me. I had forgotten about it. No.
Vol Nation Recruiting asked if we've heard anything about the Trey Smith injury. I heard he banged up a shoulder and that they put him through all the tests and he should be fine.
Okay.
There was a little bit of fear early that it might be something serious, but he was at practice Sunday. I believe they were off yesterday. It doesn't appear to be anything major. I did see that in the game. He was grabbing his wrist, but they said it was something to do with the shoulder.
He was tweeting last night.
Have you seen Elijah Simmons singing videos?
Who knew?
Holy moly.
Voice of an angel.
What a voice.
I think I'm going to link with him and get a collab going. I still got to get him to answer me, but it'll come.
Hmm. Have him sing like a hook for a rap song.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote a bunch of music. I just can't sing, so I can't put any choruses in there, but I have a bunch of songs in the projects or in the works.
As it relates to Trey Smith.
The works.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was before Saturday. Made the mistake. I thought this was after the game, but it wasn't. But as far as highest graded returning SEC offensive lineman for Pro Football Focus, he ranked second.
All right.
Have we seen any Pro Football Focus grades for Tennessee? Have those come out yet?
I subscribed to Pro Football Focus last year thinking I could see all the college grades that they did.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make those available. They grade them, and then they only send you like those graphics that people then like copy, which is really annoying. Because for the NFL, you can just like for the Titans, you could just pull up Titans and see what everybody graded this week. But you can't do that for college, so it's pretty annoying.
Ooh, this is not good. 14 hours ago, Pro Football Focus, for their college account, tweeted, the deepest pass attempt since 2015. They have, in third, Lamar Jackson with 62 yards. Patrick Mahomes, 63 yards. Felipe Franks, 66 yards.
What?
Just deepest pass attempt since 2015. I don't know why they decided to put – oh, it was their year in college, so they put Felipe Franks up against Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson when they were in college.
Mm-hmm.
But it just links a video of Florida scoring a touchdown on the balls.
It's Optimism Tuesday, Davey.
I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
It's okay.
It.
That led to the end.
I was
so.
Trying to find power. Pro Football Focus
I got
numbers
you.
For us.
If you want to pay me, and this is going out to everyone on this show,
No.
Okay, never mind.
You'll eat the chip for me?
I'll take the punishments.
Ooh. Oh. Wait, how much did we say you have to pay to get out of it? Like $100?
$100.
So if I pay Will $100.
$75, I'll do a discount.
He eats it for you?
He just negotiated against himself.
No, yikes. I didn't. I negotiated for it to actually come true instead of trying to have a high bargain and then not come true.
Hey, real quick. Highest graded defensive lines from week 4 in the Power 5. Number 1 was Vanderbilt.
They did look good.
They graded 81. Georgia graded 79.9. Yikes.
Would you allow me to pay Will Stevens $75?
Don't we have to I think there's a vote, right? Don't we have to all vote?
We said you could pay $100 and just get out of it. This is 75
per person, I think. I think we did per person.
I think that
come prepared as if you have to do it tomorrow. We can discuss more.
Brought up, but
I mean, I think you should do it.
We do have 5 out there. You could just do it.
I mean, you could also opt out. You get your one veto.
But then have to draw another punishment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't that the way the veto works?
Well, I thought you had to use the veto beforehand, so we could go ahead and if we had to get something for the next. Punishment.
I think it's past time. I think you missed the deadline. You just got to eat the chip.
SEC Survivor Punishment tomorrow. Tune in. You don't want to miss it. The Blitz is next right here on Fan Run Radio.